Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
Kitano Jones.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Woohoo! Welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 3rd, and because it is May, I got to play this all month long, kids.
We're failing, Justin.
It's gonna be May.
There you go. It's gonna be May. Justin Timberlake, everyone. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Wednesday, May 3rd. We are going to break down the week in pop culture, LGBT news, and politics, and have a good old time. Stepping up to the microphone and joining me today is my special guest co-host. Love him to death, my buddy. He's an out-proud gay father, two beautiful girls, a wonderful home chef. Be jealous all the time with his pictures of his creations he's made, and an occasional actor, blogger, and even singer. Please welcome to the show, Kitano Jones. Hey, Daddy Owen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very good. Thank you so much for being co-host today.
Oh, anything for you.
How is beautiful downtown L.A.? I miss it already. It's only been 3 weeks.
Well, I'm in West Hollywood, not downtown, so I couldn't tell you about downtown, but West Hollywood is beautiful right now.
I bet. Well, thanks for coming on. We're going to have time today, talk about a whole bunch of fun little things. Everything else going good for you, though?
Everything is good. No complaints on this end. No complaints.
And you have a busy day. One of the little ones has a birthday. How old is she today?
She does. My oldest one's turning 7 today.
And what is 7-year-old girls like on their birthday nowadays? I'm so out of it.
She's getting a lot of clothes. She wants some Legos, art supplies. They're into this thing called Shopkins, which I don't endorse, but I've begrudgingly purchased some of those things. And
I like the Legos. I like creativity in our young girls growing up and doing math, science, and Legos. That's wonderful. That's cool.
Yeah, she loves her Legos. It's funny. A few months ago, she wouldn't do them, and we were working on them together, and she'd get frustrated, and now she wakes up early and brings out the books and is putting together all the little things as they want you to put them together, you know.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's
amazing. Nice.
Like, overnight now, she loves them and wants to put them together and then takes them apart and puts them back together. So it's amazing to watch all that.
That is
these
awesome.
Little minds growing and doing stuff on their own, you know.
Exactly. Oh, that's so I've wanted a kid for so long. That's so cool. I know it's so much work, but it is so cool just to see, be able to be a kid again, at least through their eyes. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of work, but it is a lot of fun.
Well, we got a whole bunch of stuff that's going on we'll talk about this week here. If you want to call in and join the conversation, ask any good questions of Gaetano or myself, please give us a call or give us your opinion. It's 347-989-0126. And give us a call. You'll hear the radio show while you're on hold. We'll get to you just as quick as we can. Let's jump right into pop culture, because speaking of pop culture, you were in the thick of it last night. You got to see L.A. version of the touring company of The Bodyguard. How was that?
Pretty amazing, actually. So here's the story. A friend of mine was like, hey, what are you doing May 2nd? And I said, nothing. He says, we're going out. I said, okay. And I was like, what are we doing? And he said, we're seeing Bodyguard. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. not really my
such
thing.
Such enthusiasm.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not expecting this to be good. You know? I love a good musical, but I'm not a big fan of these movie remakes and these kind of middle America pleasing musicals. So I went in, and I will tell you, by the time I left, I was up on my feet having just a great old time. And it was fun. I mean, Deborah Cox was amazing. I wouldn't so much call it the Bodyguard musical, much more of a Whitney Mania. it was a Whitney tribute show with a little bit of the Bodyguard theme thrown through it.
Oh, that's
and,
funny.
Yeah, but she sounded great, and she didn't try to copy Whitney's voice, but she had some perfect nuances that just took you right there. And, you know, it was a fun show. The acting is kind of bad, but it's like bad in a really campy way. So there's a lot of good laughs out of it, and, you know.
You know, I kind
of
like that. I mean,
on some of the lines.
The funny thing is I'd rather have bad acting and great singing in a musical like The Bodyguard than good acting and bad singing in La La Land, you know? That's kind of pulled me out of the movie a little bit. So I don't mind that.
The acting kind of took you out of the play, but then, you know, the audience was like, every time the villain came out, it was almost like one of those like melodrama plays where, you know, the villain comes out, he opens up his jacket and it's like hiss, boo, you know? So every time the villain like appeared, everyone just started laughing because the way they did it was so just horribly over the top. And I don't know if they were trying to be serious and make that scene dramatic or if they were in on the joke because we were laughing. You know,
I love that. That is so funny. Just waiting for them to twirl their little mustache right on stage, huh?
Yeah. But the songs are great, and her voice was amazing, and you know she gave me goosebumps, and the girl that played her sister, I kept calling her Solange to my friend, but she was great. She had a very good soulful voice, like Solange, you know, and
right.
So they were both great, you know. And at the end, you know, she's saying, "I will always love you," and the way they did it was beautiful. And there, and I had a little tear in my eye. I had a couple tears, and I was like, "I can't believe I'm like crying at this like kind of crappy show."
Oh, that's funny.
And then,
they did an encore. I love it.
Yeah, and then they did an encore like it was a concert, and that brought everyone was dancing and singing, and it was. It was really well done. It was something I went in being like, oh, whatever, we're going to go see. And then I walked out being like, I've been telling everyone, if you can get your hands on some tickets, just go. You know, just go.
Nice.
Enjoy your evening.
Where did they do
it
at?
That's a thumbs up for me. At the Pantages, which is the
big theater
in Hollywood.
I love
the
Pantages.
Old, beautiful.
I saw Phantom of the Opera was the last show I saw at the Pantages. But it was there for a long time. They did it so well. They created the entire theater for Phantom at the time. Because it had a long run there. But yeah, cool. Very, very cool. I love that.
I saw Phantom 3 million years ago on Broadway when it first opened. That's
did you? Was
I
Michael
am.
Crawford
yeah.
doing it then, or who was doing it?
I was a child. I can't tell you all that stuff.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm a Broadway.
I'm such a Broadway boy. And in fact,
you know,
Tony yesterday, and I was like squealing like a little 10-year-old girl. But yeah,
I
love
Broadway. I have the playbill, and
it's horrible.
I was gonna say I know I still have the playbill in a box somewhere in my house, so I'll have to go back and see who's who in the cast when I saw. But I feel like it was Sarah Brightman and Michael Crawford when I saw, because it was right when it first opened.
There you go.
I went to see it.
My brother got tickets. My brother used to be into the entertainment business. Now he's a cop. Who would have thought? But my parents got him 2 tickets for him and this girl he was dating to see Phantom of the Opera at L.A. And I don't know, it was Pantages, I guess, and with Michael Crawford in it. And this is near the end of his run. It was big and things. So they bought him the Christopher tickets. And I forget what they paid for him. I think they paid house price, whatever it happened to be at the time back then. But then it turned out, wouldn't you know, that Michael Crawford announced that was going to be his last week ever playing Phantom. And so all of a sudden, my brother's tickets, I think they were like third row center or something. My parents paid top price, was like at the time was maybe $90 or something a ticket. So all of a sudden he makes this announcement and you see him going online scalping the tickets for like $5,000 and $7,000 back in the day. And my brother was all... And my brother's all, let's make some money off this thing. My mom and dad wouldn't let him sell the tickets, but it was pretty funny. But yeah, it turned into kind of a funny event because the last time that Michael prayed him, so that was kind of exciting. We'll go back to Tony Awards. I know you're not a huge Broadway person like I am as far as following the Tonys.
Well, I don't live in New York, and I haven't been to see a show since the last time I was in New York. So it's not that I don't love Broadway. I haven't been back to New York in a year and a half, so I haven't seen any of this stuff. I haven't kept abreast of it, you know.
I understand how that goes. Well, I don't get there that often, but I just follow it and everything. I follow entertainment in general, though. That's what I'm doing here for my day job here, kind of. But I love the plays. I just love the energy of it. So I kind of follow it along, and I read even though I don't get to go to it. So I'm kind of geek that way. But anyway, the Tony Award nominations were announced, and they were kind of the typical what was thought. I mean, Hello Dolly has Bette in there, and David Hyde Pierce in there. They both got nominated, and it's been a big deal on Broadway. Dear Evan Hansen is one of the big ticket items out on Broadway. It's basically, it's not an LGBT play, but it kind of has the feelings of isolation and loneliness and what happens if you do the right things for the wrong reasons or something. And it's taken Tony's by storm. And it got nominations for the show and for the lead on that as well. And I can't say his name right now, but it'll come to me. So lead actress for a musical is going to be a diva off. You have Bette Midler for Hello Dolly. You have Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole that are both playing in War Paint. So all three of them were nominated for the same award. So that's going to be fun. Who knows what's going to be there. It's going to be great. And then, yeah, like I said, there's a Christian Borle, who I love. He was on Smash and everything. He's now playing Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So Willy Wonka right now, but he was nominated for Falsettos, and Falsettos is a great queer play that has queer overtones to it. And both he and Andrew Rannells from Book of Mormon, and was on that show, Next to Normal. Andrew Rannells mm-hmm. were both nominated for that. So a lot of people that I like and that I follow just on Twitter and Instagram, the people I just like, got nominated. So it's kind of fun. And the wild thing about the Tonys this year, it's going to be pretty interesting. And it kind of combines a little bit of pop culture, LGBT news, and politics all together. The Tonys are going to be on June 11th this year, Sunday, June 11th. And Sunday, June 11th has been declared the Equality March for all of our LGBT and our allies. It's kind of like the Moms March was the day after Trump got inaugurated. They're going to do an Equality March on June 11th has been organized. It's going to be big in D.C. It's going to have places all over the country to participate. Your L.A. Pride Parade is going to be a protest march on June 11th. For Equality Day. So that'll be happening everywhere. I think, like I said, there's 15 other cities that are participating in it around the country. They're trying to get more and more each day. But that's going to be a big equality march set up. So it's going to be kind of interesting. Big day of equality. Tonys have always been known for their acceptance in LGBT. There's always been mentions of it in acceptance speeches and things. And they've never been terribly, they've been a little political. But they've always been very open in their accepting of LGBT. It'll be interesting on the National Day of Equality, what's going to be said that night at the Tonys. Because it's mm-hmm. probably going to get very political, I think, at the Tonys that night. So it'll be interesting.
Well, I will be watching it. I do watch them every year.
There,
I feel like
there
I'm
you go.
Part of it.
Now, RuPaul's Drag Con was in L.A. this weekend. I'm sure you didn't have time to take little girls to RuPaul's Drag. They could have got some good makeup tips, though. You never know.
They could have, you know. It's horrible, maybe. I don't know. I hope I don't get shamed, parent shamed, but I do let the girls watch it. they love watching all the boys get all that over the top makeup on, and you know, I think they, the girls I think do sometimes a better job than the boys do, but we do watch it, but we didn't make it down to DragCon this year. Sad to say. But how was it? I haven't even – I know people who
went. Well, a good friend of the show, Josh Sabar, was there. He has his book, Porn Again, that I love. He was down there and signing autographs for that. And he brought with him a couple of adult male porn stars with him to his booth, so he was a very busy booth. And he had a good time. Stephen Daler is a fashion and runway model. He's been on the show before. He was there for Marco. That's basically all I was wearing was Marco underwear, if you know what I mean. And
right,
is a Hubba 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 guy to look at, but he had a good time. Then I saw a picture. A lot of my friends that I knew went there, so I saw a lot of pictures just streaming through my social media posts. The funny thing that I heard, though, is it was kind of a weird thing because RuPaul's Drag Race moved this year, as you know, from being on just logo only to VH1. And
right.
They're both owned by the same company, but Logo is an LGBT channel exclusively, pretty much, and it's not available on all of the cable channels, cable markets. VH1 is available on almost every cable market across the country, and they moved the show from the Logo to VH1, and they did it instead of 10 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock at night. And so it was kind of a controversial thing. One, why is it going away from the gay channel, and why is it going from 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock? Because so many gay bars were showing it on Friday nights as the intro to the night, right? And nobody goes to a gay bar at 8 o'clock at night, right?
Right, right.
And,
well, I mean, I think it's a bad night. I mean, it used to always be on Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Monday nights it was always on before.
Right, oh, that's right.
Bars.
It was Monday. Right, okay.
Yeah, it was Monday nights, and it would bring the people out. And I mean, I know our bar used to, when I used to work at a bar, we used to show it, and it, you know, it packed them in on Monday nights.
Exactly. So it was kind of big controversy what would happen. They've ended up killing it this season with over a million viewers every week. So the TV show is just going through the roof. They thought it was not a very well attended drag con this year. So it's kind of a quagmire. It's like it seems much more popular. RuPaul won for best host of an award show for a daytime Emmy last year, which was unusual. And actually, a nighttime Emmy is a regular Emmy. And so it's got all this popularity thing, but then they were surprised that DragCon wasn't as busy. And so they're kind of trying to figure that out in their heads, why it seems to be busier on television, but not as busy as in person. It just seems like maybe it's more accepted now, or... There's a whole bunch of theories going around, so it's kind of interesting.
Well, I think people were also – there's also a backlash that it's on VH1. I mean, I know a lot of people in the community are – at one end, oh, great, we're being accepted, but then it's like you ran away from the roots. It's like Diana Ross leaving the ghetto and never going back. You're never going back to the Brewster Project, right? So the show gets put on VH1. And then Logo, granted, it's all owned by the same company, but Logo, the gay network, why doesn't Logo get to premiere it and VH1 get to show it the second night? You know, premiere it on Monday, VH1 shows it on Friday. I mean, I think people were a little insulted that it went to this mainstream. And then you have, like, you know, Wendy Williams doing her little...
Oh, that's right. She did that opening show.
The commercial breaks. Yeah, and it's like, she is what she is. She does what she does. I don't hate her or love her. I mean, I watch the show sometimes. Sometimes I think it's funny, and sometimes I'm slapping my head, being like, "Did she just say that? Like, that's not even appropriate." And
right.
And it's not even inappropriate in a funny way. Like, it's awkward. And so to have her on there, like, I wouldn't necessarily say she's some big drag queen, gay and lesbian advocate. You know, I don't think she's an advocate for community. So it's very hard to have her on there on this VH1 thing. You're like, I don't really get that, you know. Granted, like, I don't think we always have to have someone who's been a huge advocate for us all the time. But, you know, someone that's kind of in our fence, it's kind of gets our story. And I have her on there who's just, she does this kind of, like, pop culture trashing. And, you know, she's
right.
Like crashing, you know, trashing all these celebrities for their stuff. I'm like, it's not I think it's an awkward match to then have her talking about, you know, the drag queens on RuPaul and throwing them shade. It just seems disingenuous. It seems a little.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, they've already been renewed for a 10th season, and this season's barely got underway. So we actually have our first caller. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Caller, welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. Jump on up. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you, Anita Davis.
I recognize
that voice. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm still alive. That's always the big part.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Anita Davis from my home area of Youngstown, Ohio. welcome to the show. What's going on? What's in your mind today? What, stand up on the soapbox and talk to us here.
Well, you know, we I'm still thrilled about yesterday's election result. Our local elections, we have had a major little, I call it a little revolution, and I hope it continues for the general election. We have a new incoming mayor, new president of the council, another judge, and I hope that was with the primary, and I hope it sustains itself into and through the general election. So.
We did. It was a big election day here in Ohio, and of course, true to it, we only had 19% of our people go to the polls, which is horrible. But,
how sad.
But it was a big change election here in Youngstown, Ohio.
A major. It could affect, it probably will affect how the city continues for the next 4 to 8 years, whether or not the dollars will go out to the whole community or just remain concentrated downtown in the hands of a few people.
Right.
So.
Well, Gaetano,
so
I have to let you know this.
Well, congratulations.
Anita is in her very first term as a councilman here in Youngstown, Ohio, and Anita single-handedly brought a bill that brought LGBT equality to the city of Youngstown.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the thanks, Scott. But it took the vote of the entire city council, and it was a unanimous vote, so I'm happy about that. And I'm super thrilled that we were one of the first cities in the state to do that, and that there are other cities than Youngstown still waiting to get on board.
Yeah, how many areas do we have in Ohio now that have protections? Not that many. There's one more now, but what are we at? Six or seven communities that actually have them in the books, or?
Well, it depends upon how you have some that's more narrowly defined. It limited to the LG and not the LGBT. Then you have a city like Lakewood, Ohio. I think Lakewood may have gone so the full ride. Gender fluidity, something that Youngstown doesn't include, and it would not have passed. Not in Youngstown. We're good. I'm happy. Excuse me. I'm happy where we are.
We got gender identity. That's the important thing. Plus our LGBT.
We have
LGs and Bs. So we're getting most of the alphabet involved here.
Well, you know what? When the rest of the gay community decides to step up to the dad blasted plate and get up off the happy ass. Can I say the word ass?
We're on internet radio. You can say whatever you want.
I can say it. When they get up off their ass and do something, like, be more vocal, become involved instead of sitting back waiting for somebody else to carry the water for them. When they become more active, not just in Youngstown, but throughout the county and throughout the state, but particularly throughout the county, then you'll see more progress. But until then, while they just sit back and all they want to do is have a party, this is where it's at. Youngstown is the most progressive city inside the county. And anybody else want to say anything, they can take a back seat because you ain't out the closet where you live.
Ooh. There you go. I like it.
You
need to
have
Anita over there in West Hollywood. She would fit in with your West Hollywood council very well, Gaetano.
Well, it sounds like she might help rustle them up a little bit because they could use a little rustling up themselves.
I don't rustle people up. I'm really kind of on the conservative side. So, a little bit. I like
well,
to stir
things
bit.
Up. You know, some of our council members have been on there since the city was founded, so they could use a little shaking up.
Well, no, that's yesterday's vote was a major shakeup. If it holds through the general election, a good old boy network will have been broken up, and it needs to be because it's like anything else. You got to break it up from the top down in politics. It doesn't work from the bottom
right.
up. It's from the top. And so I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it, Scott.
I am happy that you're happy, and I am happy as well.
Yes.
So, thank you so much for calling in. We're
going
to have to – I'm trying to talk Anita into getting into a local show with me here to talk a little bit of politics and LGBT local areas. So – we're going to have to get all of our listeners to kind of bug you to do it.
Hi, Scott. Who else is on the line here?
Right now, this is Gaetano Jones. Gaetano's my buddy out of West Hollywood, California. He is an actor, a singer, and right now he's a stay-at-home dad with two beautiful girls he's raising all by himself, Anita.
Terrific. Well, I'm going to continue to listen
in
on the show, and I'm just going to listen in and hear what you guys are talking about.
I would love
that.
You
got it. Thanks, Anita. We'll talk to you real soon,
okay?
And thank you for the work you're doing in your neck of the woods. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Okay, take care. I'll be listening. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. That was Anita Davidson. Yeah, I'm so proud of Anita. Anita actually, I mean, talk about a trailblazer. Anita was one of the very first female Youngstown, Ohio police officers ever.
Wow.
Anita founded Pride Youngstown, did our very first Pride Festival here in Youngstown, Ohio, 9 years ago. And now here she is as a councilwoman introducing and getting passed legislature to make Ohio or to make Youngstown, Ohio part of equality for LGBT on hiring, housing, and everything else. How cool is that?
That's awesome. Good for
Very
her.
Cool.
Well,
Real
love
trailblazer. I'm hoping to get her on a radio show. We're going to try to get a local radio show here for the LGBT community and our allies. But she's amazing, so it's lots of fun.
Nice.
Well, let's go ahead on that note. Let's get ready to go into a little political topics here. But I want to talk about a few things because there's so much going on politically right now. If you're a news junkie like I am, your head's exploding about 12 ways from Sunday.
I'm accused of someone I put a post on Facebook and then someone in the feed down below was like, oh, so we're still angry, are we? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, you know, your voice is your light and you shouldn't be speaking hate and speak love. And I was like, oh my God, enough with this love talk. Okay. And I'm over the love talk. I'm over this like hippy dippy love. If we only speak words of love. Okay. Like, let's not deny our feelings, people. Okay, we're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be frustrated and voice it. You know, so that's
exactly.
Tantrum of the day, I guess.
Oh, it's just crazy right now. I mean, we have so many things going on. We have a health bill on the verge of passing now that was dead on arrival 2 weeks ago. Now it's possibly able to pass where it's going to almost wipe out pre-existing conditions where they will have a fund for it, but states are allowed to opt out of that fund. And it's kind of crazy. The healthcare laws, I mean, Obamacare, we all know wasn't perfect, right? But it was so much better than what people didn't have before.
It was so much better than what people didn't have before. And, you know, here's the thing, like I wasn't a huge fan of it when it was coming up because the public option was eradicated, you know, so that took out competition. So it was just a big hand job for the insurance companies. And then the insurance company is like, well, we're making money, but not enough. No one's losing money. They're just not making – they weren't making hand over fist for their shareholders. So no one's losing out. And, yes, some people's premiums went up, but that's all the insurance people's fault. That's not the law's fault, except that, you know, we didn't have the public option to actually bring in real competitive pricing. No healthcare is perfect anywhere, right? But we need to be
exactly.
We need to keep moving forward to make it better for everyone, not better for, you know, a few people who can afford it and everyone else is sorry, you're on your own. And
what's exactly is,
you know,
like
pre-existing conditions. Once you're born, that's a pre-existing. If you're born overweight, that's a. If you're an overweight baby, that's a pre-existing condition. Whether or not you're fit, I mean, whether you're fit for the rest of your life. Sorry, you're an overweight baby. Then, you know, we're not gonna insure you. You're a risk.
I have to tell the insurance company something.
We're all gonna get sick, and we're all gonna die, and we're all gonna need insurance. So I don't know where they're coming
there
from.
You
know.
Well, it's like they want to fix. For 7 years, they voted 60 times, 60 plus times, to repeal Obamacare, right? And when he was going to do it, he got the first 100 days, he's going to repeal and place Obamacare. Well, then they go do it, and they have no better option. The option they finally come up with is bad, but it's not bad enough that there's a certain group in their party that wants to make it worse by taking away subsidies. So not only do you want to replace it with a worse bill, there's 30 people that want to make it even more worse than that, which is crazy. And then now it's like they just don't understand. One of their big things they said is crossing state lines. If you cross state lines, that's going to be their big all end all. It's going to lower costs. Why don't they just add that to Obamacare? They're saying, well, there's no place you can get insurance at. I said, well, if you do your law that you said you've wanted to pass for the last 6 years, and just all you have to do is change one law and say you can now buy insurance across state lines, that stops everything. Then all of a sudden you don't have just one place to buy health care. You can buy it anywhere, and a lot more people opt in the Obamacare, and it'll keep even saving more money. So it's like there are simple fixes to it, but they
but
have
they
to be political
to
little
work.
Yeah.
And they don't want it to work, and they don't want people to be happy and healthy. I don't understand the GOP. I've never understood it. I shake my head at friends and family that vote and have conversations. And if you take out Democrat, Republican, you really realize we all really want universal health care. There's not really a lot of people that, you know, real Americans, people that actually work and pay bills and pick their kids up from school and pay babysitters. I mean, real Americans. I'm not talking about this 1% that have 53 servants and they don't even know what cash looks like, and they don't know how to lick a stamp and put it on the bill. Not those people. Not the people that control everything, but the ones that pay in for all those other people to live high on the hog. We're all like, wait, why don't we have universal health care? Why don't we have this? We don't have this. But people are so trained to think that that's un-American and it's socialism. But if you take all that politics talk and sit down and be like, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to pay for going to the doctor? Oh, that'd be great. Well, that's called universal health care, kids. You know, quit voting against your own interests and your own family's survival. Just think about it. But
even Jimmy Kimmel weighed in on it. See Jimmy Kimmel's little speech?
Yes, I did, and beautiful, and, you know, I love it when the people who actually reach out to all of America like him. I mean, I think he's got a pretty broad base of people. I wouldn't say there's one political faction of people that watch his show. So that was very nice to see him as one of the 1% speak out as he's representing all of us. You know, because he didn't have to say this. This doesn't affect him. He's got enough money that none of this affects him. But he is smart enough and beautiful enough in the inside to say, "Hey, my story. You know, this is how it actually relates to everybody." And I think that's wonderful.
Right, compassion.
You know,
if you haven't heard about it out there in Radio Land, Jimmy Kimmel had his second child. He has a daughter already. Second child, a son, was born not too long ago with congenital heart disease, and has been getting surgeries ever since. And it's been really touch and go for a bit, and all the stuff going on. And Jimmy Kimmel's been kind of quiet about it, except with his celebrity friends. Well, he came out on his show last night to say, this is what happened. My son almost died. I'm part of the 1%. I can afford to get this fixed. So everything's great. I've been able to take care of this. But this is going to be a pre-existing condition for my son for the rest of his life. And I know a lot of you out there are not going to be able to afford this. So I just want you to be aware of it. I want to thank the powers that be that you guys can have a way to do this. And I hope that it continues. So like you said, very well thought out and very well done. And I was quite impressed.
And you know, he's a funny guy. He's a smart guy. And to see him just like, you know, it's one thing about, it kills me when people talk about this Hollywood elite and the La La Land celebrities. The thing is, most of them came from poor backgrounds. The reason why they're all Democrats is because they struggled and strived, and they still remember what it felt like to starve to get what they had. You know, they still, they, you know, I hope most of them don't forget where they came from. And they, it's nice to see that he's one of those. He's still in touch with what it's like to not have money in your pocket or to be able to get all your needs met. And the reality is any of us could lose it all tomorrow. Anything can happen.
So true. And then one last thing I want to touch on politics. We won't go on about politics forever because you know I can, because I just am glued to my television, unfortunately. But what about tomorrow is supposedly – we're going to have that Religious Freedom Bill kind of raise its little ugly head.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that so sweet? I feel so happy and just so joyous about that. It's disgusting. Can we just say it's disgusting? I don't get it, people.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, nobody knows 100% for sure, but supposedly Politico has seen it. They don't know, they can't tell you, or they know it's getting done. They can't tell you exactly what's in the final draft. Mike Pence is a happy little camper because, of course, he's the one that started this whole religious freedom bill back in Indiana that had that backlash.
Right.
And initially had to repeal it. So he's been trying to get this done federally forever. And
right.
It's happening on the National Day of Prayer tomorrow. He's inviting all
right.
of these religious conservative people from the Hill and from the clergy to come watch him sign this amendment or this executive order, but they won't say what's exactly in it yet. So it's going to be just a shitstorm of scary, I think. We'll see what happens.
Right. Yes, I agree. He, it's, I don't want to, it's just,
the only good news,
head.
I think, is GLAD and one other people have lawsuits ready to go the second it's announced. They're going into court. Like, if he announces it at 12
as
o'clock
the,
tomorrow.
The pen leaves the paper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for them. They need to. We need to. Yeah, it's just, and it's all this stupid stuff that just gets more legal battles, and it costs us all more money and stuff that's, you know, hopefully not going to have any teeth, because we as a society are moving more progressive, and I will never understand this, this religious freedom, which is just legal discrimination. That's exactly what it is. You can't roll it any other way. Sorry, it's American Sharia law. You know, you don't, you talk about Sharia law, we have it, and he's going to sign it in. It's very scary. And as I raise my daughters, we, you know, they're aware of some politics. You know, I don't keep a blind eye, and we talk about certain things that's age appropriate. And I want my daughters to always be aware of what's going on. And
well, I mean, today we were talking about today. The sad thing that America doesn't understand is it's not just LGBT. This is a religious freedom bill. So technically,
right.
If you have a Jewish person come in that's celebrating Passover and you don't agree with Passover, you can refuse to sell to them. They can't have their bagels.
Right.
They have, I mean, that's racist.
Muslims
just that,
or a Muslim can exclude everyone, and a Jew can exclude everyone. And I'm an atheist, so does that mean I get to exclude anyone? Do I get to exclude everyone from my business?
There you go. Exactly. I mean, it's like, it's just not thought. It's like they assume not only is it all a white hetero world, but it's a white hetero Christian world, and there's no room for
diversity.
And
not only Christian, it's an evangelical Christian, right? It's like, you know, cause I bet those Christians don't really want the Catholics in. Yeah, they don't really want to sell the Catholics either.
Right, right. all right, well, my blood is starting to boil, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come
Alrighty.
Back, we got a little more politics. We have a little fun today. We're doing our new segment. It's called Rinse, Recast, and Reboot, because everyone's rebooting these television shows. So we're going to go back to culture again, the LGBT news, and we're going to recast today Three's Company. So if you think you have a great people who could be Three's Company, go ahead and call in for us and let us know, 347-989-0126. We're going to take a break and play a little Tom Goss, All My Life. Listen to Standing on My Soapbox with Gaetano Jones and Scott Fullerton. We'll be right back.
All my life, I've said goodbye to that I know to the truth. But you're my life, so wild I try to hold on to you. When we first kissed, lying side by side, I'll always deny it, but I was crying. goodbye that I know to be true. But you're my life, so I'll try.
Back. That is Tom Goss with All My Life. Guys, my special guest co-host today is Gaetano Jones, direct from La La Land. We are talking pop culture, politics, and LGBT news. We're in the middle of a little politics discussion here, and Stephen Colbert got in a little hot water last night or a couple nights ago, right?
Well, yeah, I think it was, what, two nights ago was the it wasn't last night since I was out at the theater. So I think it was two nights ago. He made that comment about Putin and Trump, and which I thought was hysterical. And as a gay man, I'm here to tell America it wasn't a homophobic remark. And yet the right-wing, conservative right-wing Republican groups are all saying that it was homophobic. They're all calling out on him.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
Right?
Stephen Colbert is probably one of the farthest from homophobic there is. I mean, even his old character kind of did a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to it. And it's just like, and it was bleeped out what he said to begin with. I mean, I was watching the live here on the East Coast. I'm sure it was bleeped everywhere. And now they're saying fire Colbert for picking fun of Trump. It's like, A, number one, he was talking about Trump and Putin. So it was obviously political, obviously First Amendment protected, and did it cross the line? I don't think so. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what it was censored correctly. They bleeped out the word. It was a funny bit, and I talked to a lot of homosexuals, and I have not found one offended yet.
I wasn't, you know, I think maybe if anyone should be offended would be the BDSM community, because it was much more of a sub relationship phobia comment, right? Versus a gay comment.
Right. If you haven't seen it, it's blown up the internet. So just search Stephen Colbert, late night Trump, and it'll come up because it has gone viral everywhere. His little comment.
Right.
He was ripping on Trump hardcore the entire night. So it was I was loving every second of it. I don't watch him that often. I tape James Corden. I love the Late Late Show with James Corden. That's the only late night show I tape right now. But I heard, I think he was having some guest on that I liked Monday, and I forget who it was. So that's the only reason I was watching it. And it was a pretty funny monologue. I got to say, he was just ripping Trump up one side and down the other. And I kept saying, Trump, you should only say 45. He who must not be named to you other Harry Potter fans out there. I usually go by 45.
Right.
crazy. What else is there in politics? I mean, there's things that are the equality bill
by
Democrats yesterday.
Equality bill, which will probably go nowhere. I mean, some of this politics stuff, I'm like, oh, do I even want to talk about, like, what's going on in Chechnya? I'm like, we can take hours to just cry about that. And the equality bill stuff, I'm like, thank you for bringing it up. It would be great if it passed. There's, one Republican? One Republican
exactly.
Who's retiring soon who signed onto the bill?
Right. The equality bill, if you don't know, it's basically trying to make for any place that there is non-discrimination against race, religion, sex, they're trying to include against sexual orientation into it. It was tried to be put up a couple years ago through Obama. It wasn't able to get through ever. So now there's another group of Democrats trying to get it through. And with a Republican House, Senate, and President, probably not a chance in hell. But good on them, I guess, for trying. I guess they can say they tried. But kind of dead on arrival, right?
Right. We gotta try, but yeah, I don't think it's.
And Chechnya, Chechnya is so horrible. I don't even want to talk about it because I get depressed. Talk about it. I put it on there just because it was very recently. They put supposedly the government of Chechnya, who is underneath the government of Russia, if you don't know, put out a statement for LGBT parents to, if they find out, if these parents find out their child is LGBT, they suggest that the parents kill them before they get to them first. It's like, what?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to talk about this. It's just too depressing to even think of.
It's I can't. I just can't. It's I don't even know how this is happening in this world. I'm surprised that no one's really Merkel's talking to him about it. Everyone's just kind of is it going out? Oh, we're investigating, and no one's putting their foot down.
I'm going to play something. I didn't think about this, but I forgot. I played this on my show the other day, and we'll play this real quick. Katie Couric was doing an interview, and I like Katie Couric. She's kind of cool. And she was doing one of her Yahoo interviews with a Russian foreign ministry official, right? So this is a foreign ministry official
that's
supposed to speak for Russia, right? And Katie Couric decided to bring this up. And this girl just stonewalled Katie Couric like nothing. And I actually have the clip. So let's go ahead and play that. It's a quick little two-minute clip. We'll be back on the other side. But we can talk over it if you want to. But here we go. This is Katie Couric interviewing a Russian foreign diplomat who all of a sudden doesn't want to talk about it and says she has nothing to talk about it. Here we go.
Let me ask you about Chechnya, if I could. There have been disturbing reports in the international media. Hold on 2 seconds.
No. This is not my issue. I'm not a specialist in this.
But you can respond. Let me ask you the question. There have been reports that the government in Chechnya is rounding up and arresting gay men.
I'm sorry.
Some have reportedly been tortured. At least 3 have died. What is Russia doing about it?
Holding investigation. As normal countries doing in these cases.
Let me read you a passage from the New York Times editorial board.
I just asked you. It's not my field.
You can't
speak about
Chechnya?
No. My field is international relationship.
And you can't talk about something that's going on internally in your country?
I did. Russia started started investigation.
Let me read you this op-ed in the New York Times. This abominable crime by a Russian republic and its reprehensible cover-up warrant a strong response from Moscow and the international community. That would be a stretch for the Russian government, which is denying that there is evidence of any crimes and has sought to keep its own gay population invisible. Can you respond to that? Because this is about Moscow and the Russian government.
I just did.
And all you can say is there is an investigation underway.
I think it's the most important to have an investigation. Don't you think so?
Tell us what the investigation, who's investigating and what has been found, if anything, thus far.
Just told you all the information I have. You need some more details, I'll be back with more details. I'm the spokesperson for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. My field is international relationship, and if you need something which you are so much focused, I will definitely bring you more information.
Nobody backs Katie to a corner. She was on her.
She's like the Kellyanne Conway of Putin, isn't she? She just
exactly.
Will just deflect. I mean, they're brilliant. I don't understand how you can just not answer a question. It's amazing how they do that. So it's.
I was proud of Katie for not letting her go. I mean, she was interrupting my Katie. She was being rude to my Katie. I tell you, thank goodness Katie pushed back, because that's a you're right. She was the Kelly Conway of Russia. I like that.
Yeah.
You have just coined it. That's great. Well, let's bring it to our little
true,
game,
right?
Because we're running out of time here, and I know you have a big birthday party for your daughter, and we have our new game. If you're listening to the show weekly, we started it last week, and we recast the cast of Cheers, because as you know, Netflix is rebooting all these characters. The movie's rebooted. We got Baywatch coming back as a movie. We have One Day at a Time coming back to Netflix, and we have Fuller House come back. So I thought, let's have a little fun on our pop culture show, and let's reboot a classic television show every week. So last week we did Cheers, and the winner was Michael Vega, who recast them all as Smurfs, what I thought was hilarious. It was very, very funny.
Nice.
So we are going to, Gaetano and I are going to give you who we would recast this week's classic American television show, Three's Company. So we have the six main characters and the three characters that join later on. And you can play along at home if you want to call in and give us your responses. Again, 347-989-0126. But okay, we have Jack. And of course, Jack was portraying a gay man, but not really, so he could live with these two girls in a gorgeous Santa Monica apartment. Who would you recast Jack as, Gaetano?
I have Adam Devine.
Ooh,
you know,
I like that.
The guy, the boyfriend from Modern Family, and he does he's got some commercial airing all the time now. I forget what product, but that's who I have.
Nice. I have Matt McCrory from Orange is the New Black and How to Get Away with Murder.
Okay.
Because he plays well with the other, the gay guy on having Jack Colley, and I think he could be kind of a fun Jack. And then our buddy Tony, he recast the entire cast with the cast of Roseanne. So he put Johnny Galecki as Jack, which I thought was pretty hilarious. But okay.
Oh, nice.
All right, and then we have Janet. Janet is the dark-haired one, pretty funny, but also a little smarter and everything. Who do you have as Janet?
I have Tracy Ellis Ross as Janet.
Who is that?
Tracy Ross, Diana's daughter. The one that's on Blackish.
Oh, okay, yeah. Love her. She's on Blackish, right?
Yeah, Blackish. So I have her or Courtney Cox, but I'm going with Tracy Ellis. Or Tracy
I
Ross,
love
that.
That's
Ross
a great
now.
Choice. And the rule is there's
no
rules here. You can switch genders. You can do old actors, new actors. So I like that. That's a great choice.
Dead ones, too, I think you put down, too. Didn't you say?
Exactly. I picked Anna Kendrick. I love Anna Kendrick. I think she could be sassy and funny. And she had dark hair. And then, let's see. Tony had Sarah Gilbert as Janet from Roseanne, which is pretty perfect. All right, next we have Chrissy Snow, who is played, of course, by Suzanne Summers, the ditzy blonde roommate. Who do you have as Chrissy?
Well, the only ditz I could think of, and she's not a blonde, but I put down Stacey Dash.
Ooh, good one.
I can't think of anyone ditzier in America right now, so.
That's true. I went a little old school on this one, and I picked a blonde from the past who was ditzy in the past. I put Lisa Kudrow in. I think Lisa Kudrow would be kind of funny.
Oh, that's a good one. That's very good. Yeah.
And,
like,
of course, in following the Roseanne theme, we had Tony put in Kaylee Cuoco, of course, who would be a great Chrissy because she has
which one was that?
Kind of plays a little bit now. So that's kind of funny.
Which one was Kaylee Cuoco? Who was she in Roseanne?
Kaylee is the one that's married to Johnny Galecki on Big Theory right now, the blonde, the two blonde girl.
Okay.
So good choice. All right, next is Larry. Larry lives in the apartment building and turns out to be one of Jack's best friends. He kind of lurks around, kind of a little lady killer, or he thinks he is. Who do you have for Larry?
I have Bradley Cooper.
Ooh, I love that. I love Bradley Moore, but I guess I love that. You know that him and Lady Gaga are redoing
I don't want to talk about that. That's like that. That's up there with that Chechnya stuff. It's too sad. Don't want to talk about it. Sorry.
You think A Star Is Born is too sad?
It's sad that they're remaking it with her and him. You know, I know people love her, but just let it go. Barbara did the remake, and that has its own place. But no, I'm not buying it. Not buying it.
Oh, you are so gay. I love you.
We have nothing but our past, people, okay? Remember our past.
There you go. All right, for Larry, I stayed in the How to Get Away with Murder, and I actually put Jack Fallahy, who plays the gay guy on How to Get Away with Murder, who was just a handsome devil. And Tony put – who did Tony put? Oh, he put the Indian guy, Kunal Nair. Is like, which should be kind of funny. I could see that. All right, then we have Mr. and Mrs. Roper, the older couple that was Mr. Roper was kind of the one they had to fool into him pretending he was gay so he could stay there.
Right,
and Mrs.
Right.
Roper was kind of in on it the whole time. A little older, a little funny. Who do you have for Mr. and Mrs. Roper?
Oh, so I went like kind of like – so for Mrs. Roper, I have cast three people. I'm sorry, I can't choose. So I have Drew Drogue. Do you know who he is, right? The one who does all the Chloe 7-E.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have him, but he does – have you seen him do his Tanya Roberts impersonation?
No.
So I have him cast doing it as Tanya. You need to look up Tanya on YouTube or go on his Facebook page and see his pictures of Tanya.
I will. That's great.
And so if not him, if he won't agree, if he's booked, then I have either Liza Minnelli or Margot Martindale playing Mrs. Roper.
Margot Martindale, I love her. Oh, that's great.
Right?
That is awesome. Well, I went very, very old school. And I put Mr. and Mrs. Roper as Tim Conway and Carol Burnett. Because I could see Burnett just killing Mrs. Roper. And Tim Conway can do about anything. So I definitely went old school for them. Yeah, let's see. What's the name pick here? Give me what they get. Oh, Jim Parsons and Maya Bullock as Mr. and Mrs. Roper. That's a little too easy. That's a gimme. Tony, I'm not going to give you bonus points for that one. Okay, and then for bonus points, we have the person that replaced Mr. and Mrs. Roper, Mr. Furley,
which
is hired by Don Knott.
Mr. Roper.
I thought you gave him Mr. Roper. I'm sorry. Who's your Mr. Roper?
My Mr. Roper is Leslie Jordan.
Oh, good choice. Good choice. I would put him at Mr. Roper or Mr. Furley. Who's your Mr.
My Mr. Furley? Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, that's funny. The way she does Sean Spicer, that'd be hilarious. Oh, my God. If I went old school and dead, I picked Gene Wilder. And if I went new school, Eugene Levy from the American Pie movies, the dad.
Right, of course. Mm-hmm.
And then Terry was the roommate that moved in. It was kind of serious, and the nurse and everything, and just didn't really work. Who'd you pick for Terry?
I picked another Terry Polo.
But very good. I think that'd be very good. By the way, do you watch Supergirl?
No. Should I?
Oh, okay. No, I'm just a comic geek. If you're a comic geek, you should. Otherwise, you don't need to. But me, I'm super comic geek, so I've been watching Supergirl the whole time. And I really geeked out when they first started because they cast for Supergirl's mom and dad, Earth mom and dad, they cast Helen Slater, who is Supergirl in the movie Supergirl they made. And they picked Dean Cain for her dad, who was Superman, in The Adventures of Superman.
Right.
And so they have now, Supergirl has this boyfriend from a neighboring planet out there. And his alien parents just showed up. And his alien mom is Terry Hatcher. Love her.
Nice.
Now we have Lois and Clark from Lois and Clark on Supergirl. So I'm nerding and fanboying out just a little bit, I got to tell you.
Nice.
But you don't have to watch it. It's just me geeking out. I put Jennifer Love Hewitt because I think she can be funny, but she's kind of a serious too. She could be the serious person. So.
Right,
I like love. And last but not least, we have Cindy. Cindy came in for just like, if you blinked and you missed her, she was supposed to be Chrissy Snow's sister, Cindy Snow, and was even ditzier than Chrissy was, believe it or not.
Right.
Who do you have for her?
I have Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, my God. Never even thought of that. Such a good choice. I pick Rebel Wilson from the,
oh,
from,
nice.
From the movies with Anna Kendrick. I thought she would be funny, the chubby girl. I thought she would be hilarious.
Right, yeah.
Good choices. That was fun. Well, if you guys have any, if you would like to recast, go ahead and either comment on Facebook or on Instagram or Twitter, at Twitter and Instagram. It's at Left of Straight. LeftOfStr and the number 8 on Facebook. You can do the Left of Straight show for our Facebook page, or Scott Fullerton, my personal page, friend me there. I have a special prize if we like your cast. But that thanks for playing with that, Gaetano. That was cool.
Hey, what? I love that. Good times.
All right. Well, we have time for one more story I want to get to before we go, and then we got to go at 6 o'clock already. I can't believe how quick an hour goes here. And I promise I'd let you get back to the kids. Do you watch Sense8 on Netflix?
Can I tell you that it's on my queue?
Okay,
it's been
good.
On my queue for a while, so I haven't
I
watched
want
it,
you to
but
watch...
I hear they're coming out with another season, right?
Season 2 premieres this Friday. I'm obsessed, and I can't wait. I already have popcorn bought, and I'm safe inside, and I'm taking the phone off the hook because I'm Sense8. It is an amazing show, Gaetano. You have to watch season 1 first, or else you'll be totally lost.
Okay.
But it is such a good show. I'll give you a quick, brief overview for you to watch season 1 if you haven't seen it, and then season 2 starts this Friday. But Sense8 is basically it's about 8 people all over the world that turn out they are all kind of interlinked through... I think it's Helen Slater now that I think about it. Helen Slater kind of dies, and these are kind of like the children of Helen Slater. And these 8 people all over the world are psychically linked. And
okay.
They don't
yeah,
really understand what's going on at first. But there's like an Oriental woman that's an excellent in martial arts. There's a gay actor in the closet from Spain that's there. Of course, the Oriental girl, she's in Asia. There's a Indian bus driver or South African or an Indian bus driver that's just kind of peppy. They have this spy guy from Germany who's kind of like trying to be a good guy, but he ends up with bad people in like a mob kind of thing. There's a cop in the U.S. somewhere, a cop from somewhere in the U.S. And there's a computer hacker hippie chick from San Francisco, lesbian with her girlfriend there. And I might be missing, there's an Indian girl. There's an Indian girl. There's probably a South African guy, bus driver. But Indian girl, they end up all being psychically linked somehow. And they slowly, that's why you have to watch the first season, kind of slowly shows the linkage between them. But they can kind of talk to each other, and they can take over each other's traits. So like, if one of them gets in trouble, let's say the Indian bus driver guy gets in trouble, the little Oriental kick-ass martial art girl will turn into his body and just kick-ass all the people around him. And it's just these traits. And so you don't know why, and there's bad guys chasing him, and it's just a great, awesome show. So get to your cue on it when you can. I needed to talk about it because it's due. Gaetano Jones, it's time to dismount the soapbox. You were fantastic. Thanks for playing today.
Well, thanks for having me. Anytime I can help out, I'm here for you.
Well, you're one of my favorite friends to have on. We're going to try to talk you into your own radio show here one of these days. You do so much
one
amazing
of these days,
things.
Very, very soon. We'll get it done. Don't worry.
What's for dinner tonight? We teased about your culinary skills. You have a birthday party on. What is the chef preparing for birthday tonight?
So it's not. I'm not going all crazy like with my chef skills tonight. It's what she wanted. So it's. I talk about old school. I'm doing the old school 70s, you know, pasta salad with tuna and mayonnaise and upping it up with some sliced olives and anchovies and red peppers and celery and stuff like that.
Nice.
That's what she wanted.
Very cool. So well, you guys,
and
if you're not following
Gaetano
on media, you have to see some of these recipes he comes with. Where can they find you on social media, my friend? And where can they follow your blog?
So there's daddyom.com is the blog, O-M-D-A-D-D-Y-O-M.com. And then on Facebook, there's a Daddy Om page. There's also Gaetano Jones page. And same with Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, it's Gaetano Jones and The Real Daddy Om. And then on Instagram, Daddy Om and Gaetano Jones. That's, I'm everywhere, but not as...
I love it. Super duper.
I'm
all right, my friend,
I'm
stand the
there.
Line. We'll say goodbye real quickly. Everyone, please tune in next Wednesday. If it's Wednesday at 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern time, it's time to stand on my soapbox and talk all about pop culture, LGBT news, and a little bit of politics. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Be sure to tune in to the Left of Straight show Monday and Tuesday, every Monday and Tuesday, 5 o'clock Eastern time. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to Standing on My Soapbox, brought to you each week right here on the Left of Straight Radio Network. For sponsorship and advertising opportunities, check out our website at www.leftofstraightradio.com. Join us here every week and be sure to download our free app at your iPhone or Android App Store. Just search for Left of Straight Radio. Thank you and good night.